Right about here, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
Hey, show the cards.
Somebody's gonna get them, and somebody's gonna get them put.
Hey, boy! Hey, boy!
It's a very, very personal meeting.
Oh! And what the hell kind of description is that?
This man will make your bladder splatter.
You ain't nothing, okay?
Does go well with it.
Damn shame how they screwed up your show. Nice little program. Not that I ever watched it.
Yeah. Woo!
Hello, everybody. My name is Jim Shear, and today, Yinz Love WrestleMania 29, or as it was billed, WrestleMania NY and J. And joining me today, my brother from the same mother, Matthew Shear.
Good morning, Jim. How's
it
going?
I'm good. And we haven't done a podcast in a while, especially a Yinz Love, so we're going to adjust audio levels, and we have two different types of microphones. If there's any audiophiles listening, and my voice was lost at WrestleMania 29.
It was all those Fandango chants.
Now, we'll talk about that in a little bit, because Fandango, it seems like he is the star of the company now after Monday Night Raw. But we'll take it from the beginning. We thought it was going to take us a while to actually drive to MetLife Stadium. Took us shorter to drive to MetLife Stadium than it did for us to wait in the concession line.
The concession line took, what, about 45 minutes just to get some pizzas? Because they did not build the bin up.
No.
They weren't making them. They were making them to order, actually, and they should have made a bunch of them beforehand.
Now, if someone said, hey, you guys used to work at McDonald's for many, many years, can you jump behind the counter and help them out? Would you do that if we missed a couple matches?
I think I would have done it in the beginning, and I said, hey, guys, just throw 20 pizzas in the oven and build the bin up.
Yeah, because the thing, it's bad management at concession, and this is a plague. What are you looking at? We got a little baby here, by the way, too. This is something that has been plaguing New Jersey. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to Devil's games, and I've waited 20 minutes to get a chicken sandwich, and I was the only one in line. So bad management at New Jersey concession. What you kids have to do is, before the doors open, keep in mind there's 80,000 people there. You got to blow out that bin with tons and tons of Papa John's pizza.
Agree. It's common sense. It's bad management. And I think we can change things. We just might have to write some protocols.
Yeah. And Matt, you used to be a manager at Arby's.
I did. And it, you know, I was there alone on a Friday, and it's common sense. You know, they're going to order a certain amount of number of items, so build it up.
And the thing is, I worked at Subway in college, and we were open until 2 a.m., and we would get blasted on Friday nights after high school football games. And you just know you have to prepare for that rush. So if there's ever another WrestleMania in New Jersey or New York City, please, before the doors open, load up the bins with hot dogs and steak sandwiches and sausage sandwiches and pizzas, because otherwise, people are going to wait in line a long time.
Agree.
Now, fortunately, we did not miss any action. And walking into this stadium, what was your thoughts on the stage, the setup, the ring, the entranceway?
I thought they did a fantastic job. You walk in, you see the big Statue of Liberty there. You see the three-dimensional WrestleMania, NYNJ. And then you have the Empire State Building and the Brooklyn Bridge back there.
It was nice.
It was good.
Now, the Statue of Liberty was so big, I almost thought it was built to scale.
It appeared that way. It was so tall from where we were sitting, we could not see the actual top of the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. So I don't know. If anyone is a Statue of Liberty aficionado out there, please let us know how close to scale that thing was on Sunday night. So, and another thing, we were worried when we got tickets, because I'm the one that got tickets on Ticketmaster, and you look at the square, and you try not to get in the corner of the square because you're afraid that you're going to be behind one of those poles that hold the ring canopy up. So we get into the stadium. Fortunately, we were not behind a canopy pole, so we got to see the entire ring.
I was certain that we were going to be behind one of those canopies. I thought we were going to see the right and the left of the ring, miss the middle, but no, we got fortunate.
Yeah. Now, you saw a picture of the ring beforehand?
Yes, I did.
And I guess the poles look like skyscrapers.
They look pretty big from where, and obviously the ring looks like a little Lego from where you're at. But yeah, it looked like it was the whole pole was going to cover the ring, but when actually we got in the stadium, that was not the case.
Yeah. So if any of you watched WrestleMania, the canopy poles look like skyscrapers. We were not behind one of those. So we're 4.5 minutes in, and we didn't talk matches yet. So let's talk about WrestleMania, NYNJ, and once again, apologies to the voice because it was lost on Sunday night. So the first match, it was a dark match. Maybe they showed it on like the, you know, the pay-per-view channel to entice people to purchase the pay-per-view. It was The Miz defeating Wade Barrett for the Intercontinental Championship.
Now, I don't know what you thought about it. I thought it really devalued the Intercontinental Championship. I think you needed to stick that in the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Not a teaser match.
No.
I think you could have done something better with a teaser match.
Well, your favorite of all time,
Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah, WrestleMania 3 was an Intercontinental
one of the most famous matches of all time.
And you, now you saw Ricky Steamboat?
I saw him in a Lake Wylie Walmart. It's true.
Now you approached him?
I approached him, and he was very kind and took a picture and went on his way, but yeah.
Now, you asked him about WrestleMania 3?
I did. I mentioned, hey, you guys stole the show at WrestleMania 3, and he kind of said that match kind of sent a new trend in WWE matches, which I wish some of the wrestlers could have taken note on WrestleMania, and I don't think some of them took advantage of it.
Well, that was, yeah, because that was the start of the high flyer era.
Correct. The mid-weight range, it gave them a chance to really set the stage.
Yeah.
I'm not sure some of them took advantage of that platform yesterday or not.
So, well, the Miz beat Wade Barrett. It was a dark match. And then we saw one night later.
We saw one night later, the Miz lost the belt. And I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all.
So, yeah. So it was nice. I mean, maybe it was nice for Miz to win the Intercontinental at WrestleMania, kind of, but then he lost it the next night at Monday Night Raw. Once again, that was a dark match, so not part of the official WrestleMania lineup. So when the pay-per-view begins, when it officially begins, the first match is The Shield versus Sheamus, Randy Orton, and Big Show. I like the match.
I did enjoy the match, too. I thought I liked that The Shield came in through MetLife Stadium. Through the seats. It was a good match all in all.
Because we were up in section, what, 131? And we were like, well, they're probably going to come through the crowd, but they're not going to go this high up because it would take them 10 minutes to walk down to the ring. I thought it was a great start to the show. I think of The Shield as sort of like a nighttime, dark, mysterious click. So it was kind of weird seeing them when it was still daylight outside, but I thought they wrestled a great match. I also wondered to myself, how are we going to hear the Big Show slaps? Because all of them wear flak jackets, but Big Show answered that question when he ripped Ambrose's jacket off and slapped him in the chest.
I thought that was one of the highlights of the match is when he ripped off their G.I. Joe, whatever it was, and he slapped him. And that kind of escalated the match to where it eventually Randy Orton, what's his finisher called?
Oh boy!
What is that?
The
thing?
Punt, the head punt.
I'm not sure. Wherever the one of the Shield jumped off the top rope, and Randy Orton.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. See, then the thing is, I kind of watch every week, Matt. I don't know if you watch every week, so we're not expert wrestling fans at this point in time. But you guys know what we're talking about. His kind of like a
backwards neck breaker or neck breaker.
So the Shield won. I was surprised that they won. I thought they were going to have a great match back and forth. The Shield were going to lose, but that was going to sort of elevate their status in the same way that Stone Cold Steve Austin's status was elevated when he lost to Bret Hart in whatever WrestleMania that was.
WrestleMania 13.
So next match, we've got Mark Henry and Ryback.
That was boring. It was. I think you had a great idea for this match, and it should have been a gimmick match. I was excited to see the two big guys go at each other. But what was your idea?
So the thing is, they build up this match as a bout between two really strong guys. And they even kicked it old school the one week where they had them do bench presses, and I believe they're going for some type of record. I think Mark Henry set the record. It looked like Ryback was going to break the bench press record, but then Mark Henry came out on stage and he pushed the bar down on Ryback's chest. And I guess they had a no contact thing going on, but he didn't touch him. He touched the bar. But if you look closely, he did kind of rub up against Ryback.
It was close.
Semantics, though. I thought, just because where we were sitting, no one gave a crap about this match.
No, it was a bunch of bear hugs. I don't know how else to explain it, but a bunch of bear hugs.
And the only pop from the audience was when Ryback picked him up at the end of the match. Once again, apologies because I don't know the name of the finishing maneuver.
I think that was after Mark Henry had won.
No. Well, he picked him up.
Okay, yeah.
He picked him up. He couldn't get him up, and then Mark Henry wins. And I think Mark Henry actually won because Ryback couldn't pick him up. And you're like, whoa, like Mark Henry actually won. And then Ryback comes out and does his finishing maneuver to Mark Henry. So Mark Henry gets a little feather in the cap, and so does Ryback. It looks like Mark Henry is going to get a push from the WWE, but it turns out one night later he was just a pawn. And we've got little Hogan going crazy down here on our make-do wrestling mat.
It was a very disappointing match. It was a very boring match. I think they could have done a lot more with it.
So my gimmick was that if you have these two strong guys going at each other, take it back to Andre the Giant and Big John Studd. Don't just make it a body slam match, but make it first to 10 body slams.
First to 10 body slams.
Then you've got a scoreboard up there. You've got a count. Be like, oh no, like Ryback's up 8-6, and then have Mark Henry tied, it's 8-8, and then, you know, go down to the wire, and then the 10th body slam wins.
It's just a simple idea that I think could have gone a long way, get the crowd interactive, but I think the match failed.
Because sometimes you need those gimmicks.
You need those
gimmicks. People don't care about Ryback and Mark Henry at WrestleMania.
No, and I was a little excited to see the powerhouses, but again, all in all, I think this match was a big disappointment.
Yes, kick it old school. Back to Big John Studd and Andre the Giant. First body slam wins, and then you win a certain amount of money. And then, remember, Andre threw the money out
of the, I think it was like a gym bag.
Yeah. That shows you how far the WWE has come, because today it would be like a gold inflated briefcase.
Yeah.
And they'd have some type of like t-shirt gun where they shoot out the money. What do you think about that, Little Hogan?
Little Hogan, yeah. A little shy at the mic there.
Little Hogan, but he will get loud, and he might even cry during this podcast. And we're going to try to keep this to like a half hour, 40 minutes, because we, you know, you might not want to hear us talk for 2 hours. I was just on a flight, and someone made a 2 hour and 20 minute podcast, and I was like, come on.
Wow.
But yeah, they could have, but I was interested in the material. It would have been better if it was just, you know, edited. A next match, and once again, apologies to the voice, lost at WrestleMania NYNJ. We've got Team Hell No versus Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston.
I like Big E Langston. I was real interested to see what he was going to do, especially what he did to Kane the previous Monday night, He withheld the choke slam. This match was good. I like Dolph Ziggler a lot. I think he's got a lot of energy.
Yeah, people love Ziggler.
And Daniel Bryan, he got the crowd going a lot. The crowd seems to love him with the yes, 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 yes.
No, 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 no.
So I thought that was a good match. I thought that kind of made things kind of a little more relevant, especially after Ryback and Mark Henry.
Because, like you said, Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler both got nice little pops from the crowd. During WrestleMania, my brother and I had a little wager going on before each match. We said who was going to win, and we wanted to see who had the higher tally at the end of the night. So you said, I believe in this match, that Dolph Ziggler and Big E were going to win the tag team belts. And then I said, no, Matt, that can't happen, because if they win the tag team belts, that kind of holds Dolph Ziggler back from cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase.
And as we saw last night, that was exactly the case with Dolph Ziggler.
No pun intended.
But I thought maybe they would have given them the belts because of Big E, give him a little push, but I guess they got something else up their sleeves with him.
Just quick, I wish Big E would change that singlet.
I kind of like the singlet.
It rides up his butt. It almost looks like he's naked, especially when he pulls down the straps. But he's a big man.
What would you put him in then?
He's a big man. It's tough to get the spandex around. I would put him in, I don't know if I'd put him in tights. like the maybe I'd put them in like the pant tights.
The pant tights, okay.
Yeah, the pant tights.
I don't know. I like the singlet. And I especially like when he takes the singlet part off when he's ready to do his finisher.
Okay. Well, maybe you could do like the Bret Hart thing. Singlet and pant tights.
There you go. Okay.
We should have a podcast about
maybe his outfit.
Wrestling attire. And little Hogan here. What do you think, little Hogan? Little Hogan just wants to grab the mic. All right. So we took a little time out there. You might not have even noticed. Little Hogan is in his jumperoo right now. He's a little vocal today.
He's a little vocal.
I mean, he's... Yeah, but not when you put him in front of the microphone. So... Who knows? You know who will listen to this? Danny Shear will probably listen to it.
Danny Shear's a
Maybe
big fan.
Maybe Mike McGrath and Kramer, our friend who attends every WrestleMania with Dave Ranallo yearly, and we did not meet up with him because his phone died.
His phone died, and finding him in the section 126 was a needle in a haystack at that point.
Yeah. So, Kramer, if you're listening, we wanted to meet up with you, but you got to charge that phone before WrestleMania if you want to meet with someone. Otherwise, there's no way we can find you. All right, the next match, and the reason I lost my voice, the reason it's a little squeaky today, Fandango versus Chris Jericho. This was Fandango's first match. I thought it was all right.
I enjoyed it. I we have never seen him wrestle before, so this was his debut.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he did good. I thought it was a good match. And I thought with you losing your voice, I thought that we were able to get the crowd going. And maybe that kind of poured into Monday night.
Yes.
Which now can pour over into his gimmick.
Yes. The thing is, we went berserk the whole match. We had a Fandango sign. And we found that his name works well with the slow chant. The slow, fast Fandango. Fandango. We got our section going.
We got our section going.
I'm interested when the DVD comes out, because I didn't purchase the pay-per-view and record it. When the DVD comes out, I'm going to listen to see if you can hear our Fandango chants.
I'm going to listen as well, because I really think that, again, it poured over into Monday night, and this could be something special for Fandango.
I know. It's what we'll talk about in a second, but I thought, you know, Jericho was going to win. Fandango was going to put up a great fight, and then that was sort of going to elevate his status, you know, for the wrestling universe. Turns out Fandango won. He beat Chris Jericho.
He beat Chris Jericho, but it now looks like they're going to continue this
rivalry. Yeah, and I like the feud. And you pointed out that, I mean, the way this whole WrestleMania was set up, it just seemed kind of forced. They didn't really build up these storylines the way they used to. Chris Jericho wasn't dancing with the stars.
I really think they missed the mark there.
Fandango is a ballroom dancer. Why didn't they bring that up?
I think it would have been a perfect storyline. Bring out some of the judges' comments from Dancing with the Stars.
And he'd be like, I am the better dancer than you.
Missed opportunity.
Yes, but maybe if they continue this feud, they can bring that up.
I hope. And I think we need to tweet the WWE Universe to say, wake up, guys. There's a storyline right in front of you.
Right, it's a gift from the wrestling gods.
It's right there.
And then one night later, we want to take some of the credit because we got our section into Fandango. The crowd last night at the Izod Center was just insane.
We loved it.
And during the match, they started humming his theme song, soccer stadium style. Dun, dun.
And again, I
dun,
think...
Dun, 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 dun.
I think this is going to be a trend because this is what the WWE Universe and the fans want. They want something interactive. And now when it comes out... You know they're going to be saying it all match long.
And coincidentally, I was trying to get our section going all night long. And when Alberto Del Rio came out, I was thinking, oh, we should get an Olay going. And then there was a time during the match where I tried to get the Seven Nation Army, you know, football chant going, dun, 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 dun. And who knew? I was just, wasn't quick enough to think of, why don't we hum Fandango's theme song?
Someone was very creative to think of that yesterday.
Whoever thought of that last night at the Izod Center, thumbs up to you.
Big time. Yeah. Big time.
And then, you know, Jericho got his revenge last night on Monday Night Raw, but at the end, Fandango got the big pop, and he's like, no, 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 no. It's Fandango.
And that chant carrying out through the rest of the night, too, not only at his match, but it even showed itself in the Cena match at the end, where Cena gave a props out to Fandango with the dance.
He had to bust out. I don't know if he was doing the salsa or the merengue, but yeah, Cena had to address it, and he did during his match. So let's go to the next one. We've got Alberto Del Rio against Jack Swagger. Alberto Del Rio wins this match. And my whole problem with the match was that this was supposed to be a hate match. You've got hate speech coming from the side of we the people. And to me, it didn't feel like there was enough hate or aggression in this match. This match needed to be dirty. This match needed to be nasty, and it just wasn't.
I think this match was another one of those matches that was just business as usual. It seemed like they were just kind of going through the motions of the leg locks.
Yeah. It was missing the fire that it needed. And, you know, Zeb Coulter came out saying that you people speak Spanish, you speak Chinese. And, yeah, I mean, you're spewing hate speech like this. This match got to be nasty. Maybe get some color in this match. But no, it was very PG match.
Yeah, nothing special. I don't think this is a highlight at all.
And speaking of ring attire, I think Jack Swagger needs to get rid of his singlet.
So what would you suggest for Jack Swagger?
Well, I think he has to wear something that matches their walk-up attire. Mm-hmm. Or like Zeb Coulter, maybe, you know, some camouflage or something like that.
Okay.
Because he still looks a little too clean cut in that singlet for the gimmick that they're going after, the We the People. He needs to look like a backwoods mercenary, which he doesn't. But the hair's nice. I'm glad that he grew the hair out.
The hair's nice. Yeah, I've watched Monday Night Raw a few weeks before the WrestleMania, and I kind of got into the We the People. I just don't know if it's catching on as strong as it should, though.
Okay. I mean, it probably not going to catch on a lot because you don't want to side with them.
True.
But I do find it interesting many years later, because when we grew up, it was the Iron Sheik. It was Nikolai Volkov. It was these, you know, Middle Eastern, these Cold War countries, Russia. We hated them, you know, Nikita Koloff. And now it's interesting that a bad guy is actually an American. But it's a safe gimmick, though, because he is an American. I forget the name of the guy who was from, he was like a Taliban wrestler. Or, I mean, they tried to make it like he was Afghani or Middle Eastern. Do you remember his name?
I can't recall his name.
Yeah. I don't remember his name. And then there was some world situation that happened, and the WWE just pulled the plug on him.
I can't recall.
Yeah. So, I mean, storylines like that, very edgy, because if anything happens in world politics, you got to pull the plug immediately. But with this guy, I mean, he's from America, so he can just be a classic villain, you know, in the same mold as Nikolai Volkov and the Iron Sheik.
And that could be their thinking. Have the villain be the American so no one can say anything.
The next match was the match of the night, according to the fans, because this one got the most reaction, CM Punk versus The Undertaker.
This one, by far, had the fans into it. With the pinfalls, we didn't know. I think everyone knew The Undertaker was going to win.
Yes.
There was still a glimmer of hope that they might have CM Punk win.
Yeah, because you think to yourself, well, maybe Undertaker has enough respect for CM Punk where he's going to say, you know what? I like your style. You're going to carry the torch for many, many years to come. I'm going to lay my shoulders down for you. That did not happen. And it didn't happen for a couple reasons. Number one, this was a match for Paul Bearer, a.k.a. William Moody. So I think The Undertaker had to win. And like I say, every year, this is the storyline that keeps on giving.
It is the storyline that keeps on giving. One time they got to shock the crowd, though, I think.
I don't know. It's the storyline that keeps on giving.
One time, I think you got to have them lose.
No, I disagree with you. But I think this would also work as a squash match. Maybe have Santino Marella say, you know what? I'm going to beat you in a WrestleMania. And Undertaker's like, come on. And maybe have Santino go to Undertaker's house and just pester him and bug him. And then you have a WrestleMania where Undertaker just choke slams him 20 different times. And then he walks the rope and he slams him on the shoulder 20 different times. So I think this would also work well as a squash match, especially when Undertaker becomes less and less mobile as he gets older. But right now, I think he still pulls off a fantastic match.
It was a fantastic match. Now, there was a part in that match where CM Punk went to the top ropes, yes. had the Undertaker on the, I think, the Spanish announce table, and the table did not break.
No.
And you mentioned something, too, that you saw what happened to the TV. It sunk.
So I always think that it's funny, although you've got to do it, otherwise you're going to paralyze people. You've got these two guys going at each other. They hate each other. You rip the top off the announce table, and then you're like, you know what? I also have to remove the monitors, because if I don't remove the monitors, my opponent's going to get too hurt. We know that, you know, in real life, if you slammed up against a metal monitor, that would screw up your vertebrae. So CM Punk was trying to pull the monitor out, and it just sunk into the table. And he probably thought to himself, oh no, like, what happens? Like, if I go for a flying elbow, am I going to eventually run into that on my way down to the ground? So we never found out because the table didn't break.
Yeah, when we were watching it live, we had the scoreboard to watch, or we had the live action. The live action was real little. But when I said, I'm going to watch this live, so I saw him come off the top rope, and then I didn't hear anything. And I said, Jim, what happened? And then that's when we saw on the replay that the table did not break.
It did not break. And those things have to break.
They have to
absorb that energy, because otherwise all that energy is going through your bones. Imagine if it didn't break when Mankind flew off of the cage. Ooh, goodness.
He'd be in big trouble. I know. We were actually there, too.
Yeah. We got to see one of the greatest wrestling matches of all time. King of the Ring in Pittsburgh, 1998, maybe?
98. Okay. 1998.
So that was the match of the night. Undertaker won. The streak continues, 21-0. And how do you follow that up? We thought you follow that up with the Funkasaurus and the Rhodes Scholars. That match was canceled. There was time constraints. A four-hour show with time constraints.
Just too long.
Just way too long. Even Monday Night Raw, make it 2 hours again. Make it 2 hours with the bonus batter at the end. But time constraints with a four-hour show that actually started at 6:30, so a four-and-a-half-hour show. The Funkasaurus did not get to do his thang at WrestleMania NYNJ. So you follow it up with Brock Lesnar and Triple H. The stadium where we were sitting, completely dead for the entire match.
It was very quiet. I was very disappointed. We saw Brock Lesnar give Triple H, whatever that move's called, the belly-to-belly back suplex.
Yeah, or belly-to-belly.
He probably gave him five of them.
Well, the thing is, we had a friend that was sitting third row. And I believe he tweeted, he's like, this was an expertly done match. And I came up to him the next day and I said, Andrew, I'm like, that was, from our vantage point, it was horrible. And he said, but for me, it looks so brutal. He's like, these belly-to-belly suplexes and their bodies hitting the floor. And I'm like, well, we couldn't hear anything. So from our point, and then from a lot of other people's vantage points, it was just a boring match.
I could not believe the lack of creativity in this match. If you pull out a table, one of the wooden tables from under
yes.
the ring, you are going to get the crowd involved. But they decided to bring the stairs, and there were a bunch of arm bars, a bunch of belly-to-belly suplexes, and a sledgehammer.
Yeah, and we'll save it for another podcast, but I don't get the sledgehammer thing. Because if you really hit someone with a sledgehammer, you would kill them.
Exactly.
So when you hit them in the head, I'm like, well, this isn't believable, because if you really hit him, he would be dead. And if you brought out a sledgehammer in real life, the police would arrest you.
Now, kind of to rewind a little bit, I think there was a screw-up in Triple H's entrance.
That was the best part of the whole match.
That was the best part of the whole match.
Explain.
Well, we saw, you know, they got this grand entrance for Triple H, and he comes out and says, I'm the game or whatever, and then all of a sudden, he's about to do his muscle thing, and he looks at himself, and it looks like there's shaving cream all over his belly.
So, I don't know what chemicals go through the smoke machine or whatnot, but the chemicals, maybe with the cold air. I don't know. We'd need a chemist in here to describe this, but it looked like he had whipped cream on his chest.
It could have been. That's a good point with the cold air.
The cold air. Maybe there was a malfunction with the smoke machine or the vapor machine.
There was something. So Triple H used his bottled water to kind of take a bath before the match, because you could see him kind of nonchalantly wiping off the whipped cream, trying to get it off him.
Well, at one point, he didn't notice, and you've got the toughest dude in the world walking down the aisle, and you're like, oh, man, he doesn't look so tough with whipped cream on his chest. Little Hogan thinks that's funny. And then once he noticed it, nonchalantly was like, a little wipe here and I'll take a little break, a little wipe here and I'll take a break. And then finally all the shaving cream came off of his chest.
Yeah, but long story short, this match fell flat.
Yeah. And I've always thought, at least for the last handful of years, Triple H, one of the best on the mic, but his matches haven't been that great. And then you have the Undertaker Triple H match from last year, stole the show. And I was like, okay, I believe in Triple H again. But then when he was going against Brock, it's like two big guys that can't really move that quickly. It's going to be a power match. And it just didn't come off, at least from our vantage point. And when someone when he pulled out the stairs earlier in the match, or when Brock threw the stairs in the ring, someone from our section said, oh, he's going to pedigree him on the stairs, and that's how he's going to win. And that's how Triple H won. He pedigreed Brock on the stairs, and he won.
Very predictable.
And Brock Lesnar, he's been in the WWE for a year now, and he's, what, wrestled two or three matches?
That's another problem with the WWE, yeah. And that's probably another conversation for another time.
Yeah.
They're not building up the talent. They're kind of using the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay bringing The Undertaker back once a year, but, you know, Triple H now coming back for WrestleMania, The Rock coming back for WrestleMania. It's almost become this, you know, this, I can't think of the word that I want to use. But it's just becoming like an avenue for these guys to wrestle once a year, get a nice payday, and, you know, play to a stadium crowd. But they're not the ones paying the dues for the entire year.
Correct. And back in the 80s, this would have never happened.
Never happened.
You are not allowed to take a day off.
Oh, my goodness. Could you imagine, like, some of the old school crusty guys in the 1980s? If someone comes for one show a year, they'd break your leg.
Yeah.
They'd snap it in half.
I don't know how this became acceptable, but... this has become the trend.
Well, the reason it's become acceptable is because it makes money.
True.
I mean, you're going to sell more pay-per-views if you got The Rock, Triple H, and Undertaker wrestling.
True. I don't know the long-term effects of this.
Right.
It does bring out the people in the pay-per-views, but I think as we'll get to the last match, there might have been some lack of respect.
Here is the repercussion. Main event, WrestleMania. We think, once again, we're getting a... Lil Hogan's going nuts once again. We think we're going to get the Funkasaurus. Out of nowhere, John Cena's music starts playing, and we're like, okay, I guess it's time for the main event.
I think they made a mistake. They did not play. They played his promo at the very beginning of the pay-per-view. Not at the very beginning, but at the beginning of the pay-per-view, in the middle of the pay-per-view. We thought we're getting the Funkasaurus. And here comes John Cena's music. And the crowd was not ready for it because the crowd wanted some kind of build-up. And they did not get that.
Did not get a build-up. And Cena and Rock, you know, it was what it was. John Cena wins the belt. We saw that coming. We knew The Rock wasn't going to tour with the WWE for a whole year long because, guess what? He has more movies to make.
He has more movies to make. I think it was a storyline on Monday Night Raw about his abdomen or something pulled off his muscle. So that was kind of their way of saying The Rock's injured. He's not going to be here tonight. Which was predictable. We didn't think he was coming back. Maybe next year's WrestleMania. I don't know, though.
Yeah, I mean, he might have tore a muscle off of his rib cage or his abdomen or whatever. But also, maybe that was just a way for the WWE to say, you know what? Rock put up a good fight because he lost and he was injured.
Now, going back to that match, I think there was a lot of predictable stuff. You knew there was going to be like 10 rock bottoms. Well, how many rock bottoms were there?
There was a few
people elbows, a few finishers. But in the end, I thought Cena was going to pull this off because you knew that The Rock was not going to hang around because the title was on the line here.
Right. It would have been less predictable if it was just a rematch of those two going at it with no title on the line. And there was no heat because you can't come back for 2.5 months and create heat for a main event at WrestleMania. It worked last year because you knew for the whole year that John Cena was going to take on The Rock. And you knew that The Rock didn't need to be there every week. But for the second time around, you're like, there's no heat.
Well,
there's no emotion in this match. There's nothing to pull for. There's no real history. They've only wrestled once before. And they've just jabbered at each other for many, many weeks.
Yeah, and I think... I don't know what else they could pull because whenever the once in a lifetime match, I think they pulled out a lot of their speaking. I don't know. It was hard for them to kind of gain new material. And right. What else do I say to The Rock? What else do I say to Cena?
Exactly. Because, you know, the Fruity Pebbles came out last year.
The Fruity Pebbles came out last year.
And that was fresh. This year, it wasn't so fresh. And then as we found out, it wasn't once in a lifetime.
Now, one thing I thought of, will they do a best out of three? But it looked like Cena was signing him off
right
at the end of that WrestleMania.
It's like, I salute you. Way to go. And maybe Rock retires. Who knows? But never say never in professional wrestling.
His mom was in attendance.
His mom was in attendance.
That could have been his sign off from the WWE.
And because never means never in professional wrestling, I admire the fact that Shawn Michaels has kept true to his word.
Shawn Michaels always hangs around.
Wait, he hasn't wrestled, though.
Oh, true, true. Going back to that, yes.
Going back to his word that he's like, when I retire, I retire. Now, he comes back, and, you know, that's got to be a fun time, seeing the guys getting a nice little payday, coming up to a few Raws, going to WrestleMania, and they have these panels at WrestleMania now and the access portion of the shows, you know, leading up to Sunday night. So he would do that anyway. So, but I respect the fact that he has truly retired. It seems.
Yeah, it seems. And we hope that because Mankind pulled that off. You know, this is my last match.
Yes.
Randy Savage actually pulled that off.
Yes.
In one of the WrestleManias with the Ultimate Warrior.
Yep.
And I obviously with Triple H and Brock Lesnar, you don't believe it because it never really sticks.
And then, as always is the case, the Monday Night Raw might have been more exciting than the night, you know, the previous night's WrestleMania.
I think the Monday Night Raw, I think that they could have added some of the elements that they put in Monday Night Raw.
Dolph Ziggler. Did you hear the crowd pop last night?
The crowd at WrestleMania wanted Dolph Ziggler, and I think it would have been perfect to have Dolph Ziggler come out and cash the Money in the Bank against Alberto Del Rio.
And that match last night, it was just a quick match, maybe a few minutes, was brilliant.
Can you imagine if they would have done that at WrestleMania?
If they did that same exact match at WrestleMania... They would have gone nuts.
And the crowd wanted... Some people actually thought Dolph Ziggler could have came out at the Triple H... I mean, not the Rock Cena match.
Yep.
Because usual WWE pay-per-views go to about 11 o'clock. But this one ended way early, about 10:40, 10:45, with a lot of filler of the salute and the handshake at the end.
Right. So you had that at Monday Night Raw. You have the whole Ryback angle. How about having that Ryback angle at the end of WrestleMania? And I guess, you know, Rock needed his proper send-off. But Andrew, our good friend, who sat in the third row, he says that WrestleMania is now basically just promote the Monday Night Raw for the following evening.
I think he's right. I mean, going back to these time slots, this is a three-hour show on USA. And if you can kind of get people hooked on that, then you kind of sell your product. But I'm back to the thing. You got to make your WrestleMania special. I don't think they had enough twists.
Finish the feuds. Build the storylines. Finish the feuds. Hogan, Andre. Woo! Macho Man Steamboat. Not only was that a great match, but that had the whole bell, you know? And George the Animal Steel. That was a great storyline.
Great storyline. And I think a lot of these storylines were kind of missing.
Yeah. So... this year, please, as soon as before Survivor Series, build up these storylines. And then, you know, throw the fans a bone or two during WrestleMania. It doesn't seem like there were any creative twists during WrestleMania. Like you said, it was business as usual. We all knew John Cena was going to win. What the surprise of the night was Mark Henry beating Ryback, but it turns out Mark Henry was just a pawn, so Ryback could go over the following night on Monday Night Raw. Overall, we were giving scores on our way out of the stadium. I gave it like, I think a 6.7.
I gave it about a 6.5.
Okay. Yeah. I enjoyed myself. I would do it again.
Oh, I loved it. Absolutely.
But the thing is, and Vince knows this too. He's like, you know what? They'll keep on coming back. But if there was competition, you know, maybe they would, you know, take more risks, but they didn't. And, that will wrap it up. Any, final thoughts before Little Hogan pulls the headset off my head?
Work on your creative writing.
Yeah.
For the WWE.
Gimmicks ain't bad.
Gimmicks.
Gimmick matches.
That's why I find... well, gimmick matches.
Gimmick matches work. Don't be afraid to have a 5-minute match in WrestleMania.
No.
Not every match has to be 20 minutes to a half hour.
and shorten to 3 hours.
3 hours. Amen.
Plenty of wrestling can be done in three
and
hours.
And a lot of people wanted the ladder match. There's, you know, they have their own pay-per-view. I'm kind of glad the ladder match is gone from WWE because every year that match was so, like, violent. I was like, someone's going to get paralyzed in this match. Just, you know, trying to wow the crowd in the middle of the card. So I'm glad that's gone. But have something like that in the middle of the, you know, of the middle of the card just to keep the fans going.
Keep it fun, even a little battle royal. They used to do that, too.
Yeah, little battle royal. And what happened? No God Bless America.
No God Bless America. No national anthem.
No national anthem. You have Lillian Garcia there. She can sing. And I understand you had the whole Hurricane Sandy thing and they're waving the American flags. But what happened to God Bless America?
I was hoping that Vince would come out like he did in WrestleMania. For Welcome to WrestleMania NYNJ and go into God Bless America.
Yeah, and there was no... You're in New York City... You go back to WrestleMania 1, you've got Liberace and Muhammad Ali, Billy Martin, famous manager, famous player for the New York Yankees. Who was the New York star they brought out for WrestleMania 29? Diddy.
They had Strahan, too.
He was in the crowd. He wasn't part of the show.
No,
yeah.
And that's true, too. A lot of the celebrities were kind of missing from the show.
From the show.
Which made WrestleMania WrestleMania.
Yeah, and no comic relief in WrestleMania.
That is true.
There's usually, you know, a little...
Someone's backstage.
A little comic spot, yeah. No Santino this year for WrestleMania.
No, and I think that was missing the celebrity.
Have Santino go down to Little Italy and do something, you know, in Little Italy. No. So, next year, it's in the Superdome, and they break from tradition. Because we thought, you know... Every 10 years, you have a WrestleMania in New York City. I guess it didn't work out. Maybe with the Super Bowl. Maybe with the Superdome. Who knows? So, yes. Thank you, Matt, for joining me on the Yin's Love podcast. Hopefully, you know, we gave you some insight that you didn't have from Section 131. So, from Matt Shear, Lil Hogan, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see Yin's later.
So long.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.
Yo, we're going to end it on a 1, 2, 3 note. Are you ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
The podcast.